Welcome to episode 193 of the Family Podcast Network. See what you made me do? You made me rip my pants.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you don't have a baby, if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even a seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is February the 4th, 2013. Our topic for today is going to be shame, 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 the worst parenting technique ever. That's right. We're going to talk about the almighty tisk, 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 the shaming mentality or the shaming approach that a lot of parents take. I think we don't even know we're doing it, and I'm going to be honest, I'm going to shoot out some experiences that happened this week where I didn't think about it, and I was doing it with my kids, and I got done with it, and I felt like a load of poop. I'm telling you, man, I got done doing it, and I looked back, and I thought, that was the one thing I said I would never do. And then I stopped and did a long-term look and thought, you know, as much progress as we've made, there's all been this slight stitching of shaming throughout most of it, and I realized how ineffective it was. I mean, I was thinking back to my being a kid myself and how I was treated that way as a kid, and I mean, it was just kind of like, man, I'm such a butt sometimes. As my as my good friend Mark might say, I am such a butt, man. Anyway, got me thinking about that. We're going to do a show over that. It's going to be really good, guys. Let me tell you, it's one of my favorite ones to put together, so stay tuned for that. Let's get into some housekeeping real quick. Get this shuffled around, guys. If you want to get notified of new episodes, if you want to make sure that you never miss out on an episode, you can do that by going to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Over on the right-hand side, you can enter your name and your email address. That'll make sure that every single episode that we kick out, you get to know about it before everybody else does. You make sure you know that morning when you wake up, you're all out of bed. It should be waiting for you in your email box, and you can take a look at it and say, oh, man, I've got to check this out. I tell you, I got more emails this last week from people and more Facebook messages from people this last week saying, Trey, man, let me tell you, it's like the last few weeks, everything you've been saying has been hitting right on what we need to talk about. Now, I'm not bringing that up to be arrogant. In most cases, the reason I bring these things up is because that junk's going on in my life. But I do say this for the premise that sometimes just knowing in advance, man, that's what he's talking about today, I need to listen to that this week. It can change everything about that. And when we don't have you signed up for these episode notifications, you might miss that episode that you needed that week to make your week just 10 times easier. So make sure, don't miss out on that episode that is vital to you that week. Sign up, name, email address. Not only that, one of the things, I do a philosophy when it comes to what I do. I don't sell things. I don't do hard sells on the things that I do. Why do I do it that way? Because I believe in taking a go-giver instead of a go-getter approach. I believe in offering out all of my good stuff for free. I believe in offering out all of this as high quality and high value as I can, 100% completely for free. Well, I started out offering an ebook, and I had such incredible success with it in sales, just download after download after download after download after download, that I really wanted to shift it over and offer it out completely free, just as one more way to make this just a little more value, a little more enriching whenever you get to, when you sign up for these kinds of things. And I offer that ebook for completely free. So if you sign up, name, email address, and that email notification, you will get sent to a link where you can get a copy of that ebook completely for free. Guys, also, like us on Facebook, share the episode, all that other good jazz. I can't tell you just how effective that is. When you share that on your website and go, Trey talked about this today, really spoke to me, or man, Trey is so right on this, or I'm serious, guys, even if you're like, Trey is full of crap, I hated this episode, this is so wrong, I love that. Now I want you to share this episode out with as many people as you can. Get the word out there. Get people stirred up about it, whether it's good or bad, you agree or disagree. I love getting these things shaken up a little bit. So share that out there. We sure do appreciate it. Guys, you also need to go check out the blog. We have a blog over here that my wife runs owns, operates, and posts to. And it's at www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog, or you can click on blog on the upper little navigation bar on the site. And over there, guys, let me tell you, I have a gift for this the vocal part of it. My wife, it's the written word. She is funny. She is hilarious. She has her own website, and she titled it and sent out the post tonight, and it was so funny I had to click through and read on it. And I knew everything was in it because I was there. I was side by side with her throughout all of the stuff that she was going through this weekend. But I went and read it just because she's that funny, and it's just so stinking good. So you got to go check that out, guys. She makes it absolutely worth it. And then last, if you guys want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. If you feel like you are getting 3 dimes out of every single one of these episodes, you can support us by becoming a P-Tacker. Up there, you can click on it. You can do a monthly P-Tacker, $5 a month. You would be surprised at how, because I have automated this stuff, because I want to offer you guys the most value that I can for as hard as I can without having to hire a whole bunch of people to do it. I am able to automate so many things, and $5 a month, that little small amount coming out of your bank account, can go a long, long ways in helping keeping this show running and fleshing it out. We've already committed on our end that we're going to put money into this business and keep it running because we believe in what we're doing. But if you want to see it grow, expand, go further, you can do that, 30 cents per episode, or you can go year-long, $50, and you save about 13% savings if you do it that way. Guys, also, if you have any questions, comments, topics that you want to hear, encouragements that you want to send over to us, we have lots of ways to get in touch with us here because we want to connect with you guys. And I mean that to the fullest extent. You can do that through email, TreyGibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can send out any email that you guys want. You guys can also do a voicemail over the internet. Super little tricked out thing that we've got on the website. If you go to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, you will see over on the right hand side it says Ask Trey Question. Click on that. If you have a microphone attached to your computer in any way, which most new computers do, you can leave a voicemail right on that little bad boy. It is so cool. I get an email within seconds saying that you left it. We can download it, put you on the show. Easy as that. We've had one guy who loves doing it that way, and I love it that he does it. It's my favorite way, truthfully, to do it. You can also contact me by phone, 661-PARENT-0. Again, that is 661-PARENT and the number 0. If you're out in the middle of traffic, just drop the kids off or just pick them up from school and you're on your way back home and you got a few minutes, pop your earphones in and you thought, man, I got a question for Trey. You can call us, 661-PARENT-0. Ask your question. We'll get back to you. And then, guys, you can also click on the Contact Us page. There's different subsections in there that you can click on. Leave us a message. You can do a topic suggestion, feedback, etc. We love that. And last, a lot of you guys have been your favorite way is Facebook. A lot of you guys have been touching base with me and connect with me on Facebook. I think we responded up to everybody. Now, at this point, we've kind of had an influx this last 2 weeks on a lot of incoming mail and messages and whatnot. If I did not get back to you, send that message out to me again. It's not personal. It's nothing hurtful or mean or spiteful or vindictive or anything like that. A lot of times I just get so many requests for information, and a lot of people are looking for consultation and, Trey, what do I do about this on personal levels? And those emails get real long sometimes. And so all of that to say that I might have missed you, and you might have slipped by me. So if you hadn't heard from me, it's been a couple weeks, just reshoot that message over to me. We'll see about getting that out to you as quick as possible. All right, guys, with all of the housekeeping out of the way, let's get into our topic for today. It's one that I am very, very excited about. Again, the topic is shame, 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 the worst parenting technique ever. That's right. We're going to talk about shaming. Now, I think a lot of times we hear that. We think shaming. Okay, that doesn't sound good, but I don't think we really know exactly what it is. At least not in the sense that we can practically cross-apply the definition into, oh man, I'm doing this. So today, again, we're going to talk a little bit about shaming our kids. Guys, it's a big-time no-no. I'm just going to jump right out the gate. I'm not going to suspend you guys in an animation here that, it's a big-time no-no. Not good. Shaming is not a good thing, but so many parents turn to it. And in that same light, I think so many parents would never respond well to it. If they ever had a boss who was shaming them in the same way that we shame our kids, I don't think they'd take well. You know, really, I was thinking about this just the other day. That is the reality, the principle of just about everything that we talk about here on the Family Podcast Network, is it all comes back to one simple thing. It's about respecting your kids. Now, there's another phrase that I would use, typically a little more liberally. if a lot of people wouldn't freak out about it, but it actually comes from the you know, my wife and I, we've never made it a secret that we follow the Christian Bible, the God of the Christian Bible. And there's a phrase in there that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that is the premise of everything we talk about here. It's about respect, because how would I want to be treated if I was that kid? How would I want to be treated if I was the employee under the boss who has authority over me? How would I want them to do that? How would I not want them to do it? And let me tell you, one of the ways that if I really look at the times that I've shamed my kids, if I ever reverse that and put a boss doing that to me, let me tell you something. I'm going to be looking for a new job. And let me tell you something else. Though kids can disown and leave and run away, they can't stop being our kids. Now, they can in their hearts. They can find new mamas and daddies who will take care of them better or something like that. But they can't stop being blood to you. So as much as we hate this mentality of shaming, I think it is very, very, very prevalent. So let's discuss real quick. What is shaming? This is a dictionary definition. I broke this down on multiple levels because I think it's very important to go through these things. So shaming means to compel through a sense of shame. So that's kind of one of those, yeah, okay, thanks, Webster. I really appreciate you not clearing that up for me. So let's take it one step lower then. What does shame mean? Shame means painful emotions resulting from the awareness or inadequacy of guilt. So let's do that together. Shaming is when we compel our kiddos through a sense of a painful emotion resulting in the awareness of their inadequacy or their guilt. I mean, dang. Is that something that you want in your family? I don't. And yet, just this weekend, what got me thinking about this, and what got me getting kind of introspective on this and made me go, oh, I don't do that. No, well, maybe I'd, son of a biscuit, I do this. You know, I mean, I went down one of those things with it, and this is what happened. I was sitting down this weekend, something so stupid. I was playing video games with my son. I'm not even going to tell you guys what game I was playing. I've gotten harshed a couple of times for admitting what game I played with my son. But I was playing this one video game with my son. And we were playing, okay, it's a flipping video game, right? And I'm sitting here playing this game with him. And we're going down here. And, man, we're doing good together. He and I are just, my four-year-old son around. I'm looking over and he's fist bumping me. Yeah, good shot, Dad. Oh, son, give me a tater. That's my boy. We're going through this. Well, we get to this one part that was really hard. It was really hard. And we kept dying. Restarting the diner. And finally, I'm getting frustrated, right? So I'm getting frustrated about this video game. And you gotta realize, my son was just learning all of this video game for the first time. First time he's ever played this. I've played a gun like this before. But I'm going to be honest with you again, to requote my friend Mark, I was being a total butt, is what happened. And we just kept losing and kept losing this one spot. And finally, it was just like, ah, Grant, you have got to do, and I don't even know what it was that I suggested that he do. But let me tell you what I do remember. I remember looking over and turning and looking him in the eyes. And that sense, he wasn't crying. He wasn't teared up. But he just had that look of, what do I do? That sense of confusion. That mild smack of fear, because he knew Daddy was frustrated with him, but he didn't know what to do. It's like putting, you know, shoelaced shoes on a kid for the very first time and getting upset with him when they can't figure out how to tie it. And that panicked look of, I don't know how to fix this. And my son, who loves to make his daddy happy, who loves to bring, you know, joy and pleasure to him and to do those things that make Daddy proud, all of a sudden had no idea how to do it. Let me tell you, my stomach sank. And the reason it did is there's an emotional connection there for me as well, because I saw little Trey sitting in the face of his daddy as a kid with that same issue, being shamed on when I didn't have a god for flipping clue how to fix it. So this was an emotional thing for me because it was tied to past emotional doo-doo in my past, right? But it was fascinating. It was fascinating because I realized that that is exactly how I was frequently treated as a kid. And let me tell you guys, this is very contrary to our normal style. We don't parent this way normally. But I think it's a sign of how a lot of times we default to whatever our family default was, to whatever was familiar for us as a kid. Even those things that we tell ourselves, oh, we'll never do. If you don't rewrite something new and put it in that place, old habits die very hard. Generational habits die even harder. So this sparked some thoughts for me on this mentality and idea of shaming. Just a few weeks ago, I was around some family, and I got to witness just kind of some back-to-back shaming mentalities, just being thrown at each other, just chiding and hurtful and mean. And I watched how they've developed kind of a resiliency to it. But you get one of them talking about it long enough, and you discover that that resiliency is a farce. So you see this reaction that I had to my son was so strange because that's not what we focus on. In our family, we focus on things like understanding the limits of our kids. We frequently say things like to the two-year-old, you know, something like, it's like you're a two-year-old or something. And, you know, when the infant's in there crying, it's like you're a little baby. We say those things not in a condescending fashion. In a lot of ways, it's a reminder that, oh, yeah, they're 2 years old. And, you know, it's worse when they're siblings. Because the siblings that are older do older sibling things, and the younger ones often don't. And I find myself being like, gosh, dang it, Anna doesn't do that. Wait a second. Anna doesn't do this. Well, of course she doesn't. Because the little girl's six. Three times the two-year-old's age. And yet I'm expecting that to be different. Or the same, excuse me. So in our family, we focus on understanding the limits. We also focus on expecting them to try. We expect our kids to try new things. It's a very big thing in our family. But you see, shaming discourages this. Shaming says, don't try this again. Shaming says, you screwed this up. Feel bad about this. And in reality, research shows that folks that have poor self-esteem, they just don't feel good about themselves, often are shamed. We also focus on praising our kids when they're successful. You see, this is a big one. Most parents are really good about picking out when they're wrong, about shaming them when they don't get it wrong. But often we stink. We just absolutely suck at telling them good job when they get it right. We often puff at our kids and the siblings when they're gritching and fighting. You know, right back at them, right? But what about those times when they're playing well? Do we say anything? A lot of times this leads to trying to use shame to get them to stop. You guys are too old for this. We focus on encouraging our kids to try again. Kid spills their milk. We understand their limits. We expect them to try to drink milk without spilling it. We praise them when they get it right. And then maybe we encourage them to start over. We're going to clean this up. Just grab you a towel, baby. Clean it up. We'll pour you some more. Try again. We also focus on encouraging our kids to brainstorm new ideas. Okay, so you spilt your milk, baby. You knocked that over. What can you do different? And I'm always so blown away at the answers they can get. My daughter, 2 years old, had her glass and she kept knocking it over. But I said, okay, sweetie, how can you stop knocking this cup of water over? And she looked at me and she goes, push it back? I said, show me. Push it back. She took her cup and she pushed it away from where her arms were. She pushed it back. Flipping brilliant, man. I'm like, yeah, that's my girl. But encouraging our kids to brainstorm. And last, we encourage them to seek out help from people. Not go and offer them help. Not go and say, oh, here, let me help you. But to say, hey, who can we ask for help? Well, we can ask you or mama. Right, good, right? See, the mentality lies on them doing it, them being proactive to solve their problem and come and seek us out for help, right? So as much as we focus on these things, as much as we say that we do not condone this mentality of shaming, we still get things like this. Anna, why did you do that? Son, why did you fill in the blank? Ah, you've got to be more careful, babe. How could you do that? Dude, what were you thinking? What are you doing? This is one of my favorite. This may sound like an expletive at the start. It's really not. It's one of my things that I do. It can sound very similar to one, but hang tight with it. It's really not. God dang it, guys! Right? That's a big one for me. Or even sometimes it can happen in just a noise. Right? Just that sigh. That sigh of discontentment. It's not always. It's not always what that means. But sometimes I use my sigh as the shame. You see, I think for some of us, we do these things without even realizing it. You know, let's put that definition into practice here. We often, again, going back to this definition of shaming, we compel our kiddos to change what they did, spilling their milk, dropping something, knocking their brothers and sisters over. We try to compel our kiddos to change through a painful emotion resulting from their awareness of inadequacy or guilt. The remorse that is caused by feeling responsible for something. In other words, guys, you know what I would deem this as? Shaming? Manipulation? No longer am I trying to model for my kids what I think they should be in hopes that they will respect me and want to follow it. Instead, I am trying to use my authority or my power or my knowledge of their personalities, and I am trying to make them feel bad about what is going on to result, you know, as a result of like their awareness of their inadequacies or their guilt for the sole purpose of getting them to do something. That is manipulation. At the most fundamental level. I'm going to be real clear, guys. Shaming sucks. It is hurtful. And it is not needed in your parenting. Now, guys, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to shame on you, guys. I'm raising my hands to say, guys, this is an active problem that I'm working on as we speak. How do you remove that shaming? We're going to talk some about that today. But let me just ask it this way. Does any of this sound good to you? This mentality of shaming, does any of this sound like something that you want to practice in your family? So then my question would be, why do we do this? Why do we practice this? If we know this is not something that's good for our family, why then do we turn so quickly to it? Number one, I think it's because it's a habit. It's often generational. We've seen it done over the years so much that we start to do it and we never question the status quo. That is one of the reasons why I teach my kids to question everything. Not just the things they read in their textbooks, but to question mommy and daddy too. I want my kids questioning everything because habits get formed and repeated over and over and over. Next off, why do we practice this? Because it's learned. Because our parents did it, and now we do. And guys, I'm telling you, I see this in the kids that say, you know, I will never do that. I'll never be like them. In most cases, guess what those parents said as well about their parents? Well, I'll never do that, ever. You see, that's part of the cycle. Because just declaring that I'll never do that does not create change. You don't stop shaming just because you look it in the face and say, oh, well, I'll never do that. I'm not going to do that again. That's why abusive relationships often return back to the abuse. Just saying that I'll never do that again, but not addressing the symptoms that cause the problems and the problems that produce the symptoms, when those are ignored, problems repeat themselves. It's just kind of naturally the way it is. So even though we make it up in our mind, oh, we'll never do this, often what our parents did, what they taught us, surfaces because we have no file to access except the one that we saw, that one that we said we'd never do. But if we don't recreate a new program to install on the computer, it's just gonna default back to the old one again. Or the other thing that often happens, which is just as bad, which is just as a poor coping skill, is that we become the exact opposite of our parent. Like the diametric, absolute, spiting them, middle finger extended defiance in our parenting technique. Opposite, which is no better. The other reason why we practice this often is because there are some people that are just angry on the inside. Now, this is the therapist coming out of me, guys. But here's what I'll tell you. Angry people act angry. And angry people love to shame. Not all of them. I'm not lumping everybody into that. But the majority is that a lot of people that are angry like to spread the wealth. And they do so through that shaming mentality because they're so hard on themselves, because they're so angry or so disappointed inside, whatever that sick emotion is that's going on in there. They want everybody else to experience that. And in most cases, they're very fair. They're equitable in how they spread that wealth. But angry people act angry. Next off, why do we practice this? Because we're comfortable and familiar with it. Because we've never replaced it with an alternative. There's an old saying, we've used it on here before, but there once was a little girl, and she was watching her mama prepare a roast, and mama bought the roast, she got it out, and she cut the ends of it off, and the little girl looked at it and thought, man, that seems like we're wasting a lot of meat. Mama, why do we do that? She goes, I really don't know. Your grandma did it. This little girl calls grandma and says, grandma, you know, I noticed that mom cuts the ends of the roast off before she puts it in the pan. And she said that she does it because you did it. Why do you do that? She goes, well, really, I don't know. I did it because your great grandma did it. This little girl finally gets frustrated. She calls great grandma and says, great grandma, I noticed that my mom, whenever she cooks a roast, she cuts the two ends of the roast and before she cooks it and puts it in the pan. Why do you do that? And grandma said that you did it. She goes, well, back whenever we were born, we didn't have enough money to buy a big pan, and so we had to have a small one, so what I had to do was cut the ends of the roast off of it just to fit it in the pan. And so you can see how old habits, old behaviors, kind of generationally get linked down, because nothing else is ever questioned, nothing is ever filled to take its place. And it's that old phrasing that most things will go from an area of high concentration to an area of low concentration when you can. If you remove something out of you, something else will come in. So you have to be very strategic to put the exact thing that you want to put in there. Naturally, humans like what is the easiest. Humans just seem to be creatures that choose the road of least resistance with the maximum amount of gain. Now, I'm not totally against that. But the reality is that sometimes we have to work really hard on things. And if we don't take it and replace that with something that we want, maybe the little bit harder option, then we will naturally move to what is the easiest thing to do. Or fall back to old habits. So we're going to start to wrap it up on this. What can we do differently as parents? Many of you guys are sitting there, man, I've been shaming my kid. You're right. Makes me want to throw up in my mouth, but I'm ready to stop. What can we do different? Number one, I think we have to ask ourselves, no matter where you are on this continuum of change, some of you guys out there are like, yeah, I don't think I'd do that, or man, what's wrong with this? I don't understand why this is such a big deal. I'm just wanting my kid to get better, and I'm using this thing to approach him. It all comes down to this. You've got to ask yourself candidly, do I learn well when a boss tries to compel me by bringing to my awareness my inadequacies or my guilt to my attention? Do I grow with that? And I think that it's in this question that we can decide if we're going to continue or not. You see, I had to look my son in the eyes this weekend and see that same little kid who felt helpless, because I didn't have a freaking clue how to change for what my dad was wanting for me. And I had to see that. And let me tell you, I asked myself, would I ever accept this from my boss? Answer was, oh, heck no. Then why would I ever let it slide with my son or my daughters or my wife? Why would I let that slide for any other reason than I'm just being lazy? I'm not accusing you guys of doing that. Not necessarily. But for me, sometimes doing this show sucks for me too, if it matters any. So what can we do different? Number one, ask yourself, would you learn well if somebody did that to you? Number two, you need to know your kids' limits. You know, see, this is harder when you have older siblings. We talked a little bit about this earlier. But when you have older siblings, you often look to see all the things that they can do, what they're capable of. And you have a tendency to kind of compare them to the younger ones. And I'm sitting there looking at the two-year-old, wondering why it is she's getting so frustrated when she tries putting her shoes on. Well, dadgummit, the answer is she's two. She's not six or seven. She's not 39. She's 2 years old. She's still learning a lot. So knowing your kids' limits, knowing what they're capable of, knowing what they're ready for, and then what are they not? What are they not there yet? My two-year-old is not ready to completely regulate her emotions without mommy and daddy's help yet. She still needs help being taught. And when we can learn that, when we can understand that, when we can react accordingly, it makes life better. Next off, and this is where it gets tricky. I'm serious, guys. This is one of the trickiest ones. You've got to learn how to change the way you see failure. Failure in you. It's got to start in you. Guys, I'm telling you, it's got to start in you. Because if you're hard on yourself, here's what I'll promise you. You're being hard on the people around you, and they are not taking it as a constructive criticism. They are taking it as in you don't care, and you're just being a buttwad. People do not take constructive criticism as a loving, doting thing. Now, some of you guys are like, well, Trey, just give me a second here. Confrontation is different. You see, confrontation is talking to somebody and expressing to them how you feel and what you think they should do in regards with light on how they feel when you're saying it. Criticism is about telling a person what you think or what you want from them without regard to how they're going to feel with how you say it. So you see, we have to restructure ourselves in how we look at failure. We've got to see failure as like an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow. It's our opportunity to teach our kids how to adapt to mistakes. Take the spilled milk phenomenon, right? We always say, don't cry over spilled milk. Maybe we should really say, parents, don't get gritchy over spilled milk. Because you see, the spilled milk is really our opportunity to teach our kids how to be safe and careful with drinks so they don't spill them. Just this week, my daughter was helping my wife clean out the refrigerator. Sorry, I brain farted there. Clean out the refrigerator. And we have done such a drastic cutback in finances over the last, probably about the last year and a half now. We've gone major cutbacks. And then over the last 2 weeks, I have made even more significant cutbacks. For me, just understanding that where I come from with my spirituality, it was out of conviction that we were still spending above and beyond what we should be, outside of our limits. And we've made some really serious cutbacks. So every single thing of food that we have in this house is coveted. Because it is the line between us not eating or eating beans and rice again. And we had this giant jar of salsa. My little daughter grabbed the top of it, and apparently the lid wasn't screwed down completely. And that jar of salsa, this coveted piece of no beans and rice tonight, fell and hit the ground and exploded. It shattered everywhere. Now, within that moment, we had the opportunity to be upset, angry, frustrated, because now our dip for our chips is crisproded. But what did my wife use it for? An opportunity not to shame her, or to get frustrated, or drop some little condescending sigh. She used it as an opportunity to teach. To teach how to make sure that lids are on tightly before we pick them up. You see, we treated my daughter in such a way where we valued her as a person first. And that is powerful. You see, when the siblings come up and push each other down, this is not a bad thing. This is our opportunity to teach our kids how to handle people and treat people kindly. You see, it all comes down to this one thing right here. Listen to this. Listen so carefully to me now, audience. You must realize that we all make mistakes, even if it's not the ones that our kids are making. One of my most favorite stories, Microsoft. They had hired a guy on to do some stuff as a financial officer. And this guy lost like $200,000 minimum. It might have been more. I can't exactly remember the story. $200,000. I think it really was more, and I don't remember what it was. And so I'm not going to get quoting on you guys something I can't remember verbatim. But he lost his $200,000 in less than a day. And they asked his boss in an interview, are you going to fire this guy? And he was shocked. You could see it in his face that he was shocked. And he was like, no. And they said, why not? And he said, I just spent $200 to train one of my employees how not to do something. What a marvel in leadership that is. There was no shaming going on. There was no tisk, tisk, tisk. There was no you're under review for losing this money. What did he say? He screwed up. Now we know how not to do it. I mean, wow. What if we parented like that? What if we parented in the mentality that we all make mistakes and every mistake is really an educational learning moment? What if we did that? How would our kids handle mistakes in the future if they weren't terrified of getting shamed and, oh, God, Grant, why did you do that? What if they walked in such a light where they weren't afraid of that? You see, I started adopting a new mindset over the last year. It goes like this. My mindset is I'm going to learn how to fail and fail faster. Now, some people would look at that and be like, what? Are you smoking some synthetic weed or something, Trey? I mean, what's going on? But you see, one of the things I have learned is that there is a value in failure. Because for every failure that I have made on this website, my successes have squashed it. And I have learned that if I can put myself through the ringer faster and quicker, if I can set myself up for failures, I'm not saying that I try to go out to fail, but I work as hard as I can to be successful. And every time that I fail, it teaches me one more step of how to get there where I want to be. Like the Thomas Edison, whenever he made the cotton filament light bulb, he said, I didn't find 2,500 ways to fail. I found 2,500 ways not to make the cotton filament light bulb. See, that is inherently powerful. And if we can figure that out with and for our kids, we are setting them up for something that is so invaluable. Number four, what should we do different? Smile. When your kid spills the milk for the 15th time, you just smile. See, you're setting them up to learn. When you come at them angry or mad, you ever had a boss storm in your office who was angry and mad at you? I have. Let me tell you, I don't think I heard a word those fools said. I was scared. I was scared for my job. I was scared for what I just, you know, whatever it was, I was not listening to him. I was in reaction mode. Am I going to have to punch this guy to get out of here safe? Not really. I'm being dramatic here, but you get the mentality. You see, smile. It's okay, baby. It's okay. You're okay. See, what you're doing is you're setting them up to understand that they did screw up. Doesn't even mean that you have to be happy about it. It just means that you always accept them no matter what they do. Smile. Tell them it's okay. Number five, get them thinking. Instead of gritching at them, get them thinking. Okay, hey, what can we do about this? Got spilt milk on the table. What do we do? I don't know. No, I want you to keep thinking. What do we do about this? We clean it up? Good, 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 good. So what do you need to do? I need to go get a towel. Hey, good. Where's a towel at? I don't know. Where's a towel at, buddy? Maybe in the laundry room in the hamper? Yeah, why don't you go check and grab one of those dirty ones? You see, you get them thinking. Our goal as parents is not to do things for them, it's to teach them how to do them for themselves when they're ready. Get them thinking. We may need to ask them, how can we stop this? If it is the 15th time that milk is being spilt over, you do need to be thinking about that question. How do we need to make this stop, sweetie? And I'm always surprised by this. I did this to my 2-year-old. That she kept knocking her glass of water over on the table and spilling it out. And we've transitioned out of the sippy cups for them, because they typically don't have a problem. And finally, I said, Cora, what? When she's 2, I said, Cora, what do you need to do here to make this stop, baby? And she looked at me. She goes, push it by. I said, do what? Push it by. And she reached up and she put her fingers on the bottom of the cup and she pushed it away from her. She was saying, push it back. 2 years old, guys. She's not a genius. She's not some kind of savant. She's your normal, median, average kid. On the intelligence quotient, but let me tell you, by no means is any one of my kids average in my eyes, because I see what they're capable of. But when it comes to like intelligence quotients, IQs, she's right in the middle, the average. Put it back. Get your kids thinking. Number 6, encourage them to try again. Remember, fail and fail more often. Fail and fail faster. That's our goal here. We want to set them up to do that again and again and again. And remember, you have to do this under the premise that you have to completely learn to relook at failure from the bad thing to the positive thing. Encourage them to try again. Remember, we want them to get back up and get in the saddle again. Because our goal as parents is to help them learn to be successful as fast as possible. Remember, it's not to make them successful. We do not want to make our kids successful. We don't want to put them and make everything go their way so they feel successful. We want to make sure that we can teach them how to be successful and how to do it fast, all without our help. Now, I'm not saying that you don't help your kids or you have resources available. What I mean is you let them do it under their own volition, under their own power, and they will feel better about themselves. And last, we're going to wrap it up on this, guys. Above all, listen carefully. Milk can be cleaned up. Broken stuff will get thrown away. Video games that you don't win, well, they don't mean squat. But our kids mean everything. And we must convey to these kids of ours that they are way more important than stuff. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the FamilyPodcastNetwork.com, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. I hope you guys have a little steak to chew on today. Are you shaming your kids? And if so, where at? Let's be honest. Guys, I've thrown out there this week where I've done that just this weekend. I'd love to hear back from you guys. Hop on Facebook. Let us know where you caught yourself shaming. We're not doing that to make ourselves feel bad. It's one, about being honest. And number 2, it's about helping other people go, you know what? Crap. I do that same thing. And I never thought about that. That is what that is. A lot of this was birthed from my wife saying, yeah, I normally shame the kids about this and this and this. And I stopped and thought, well, I don't do that. Well, oh, crap. I do this too. Let's be honest. Let's have an honest moment about this. Let's talk. How do we shame our kids? Hope to see you guys over at Facebook. We talk a little bit about this more. You guys have a great week. And if nothing else, we'll see you guys on Wednesday.